brother. Thank you.
Well, we praise the Lord for being able to have the privilege to be with you folks. And this little stick that I put in this thing here this morning, it's showing on the computer, but y'all got to come look at them pictures up here. We can't broadcast them. So Mary Helen want to look at them too. She hadn't seen them. I told Brother Bill this morning that he was the technology man, so we rely on him. And I done found out something about technology. About the time you want to use it, it ain't gonna work. That's about how that works. And I'm not against it. I know that the devil is involved in a whole lot of this stuff, and he's the prince and power of the air. And he likes to discourage us and mess us up every time he gets a chance. And that's just how it is. But we move forward trusting God, and that's just how that goes. Let me give just a little update with us. What this is on this, I guess that's what a PowerPoint presentation is, what it is. It's pictures of my last trip down to Paraguay. And Florentino Britas and his ministry. Some of y'all have got prayer cards, and I handed out Brother Florentino and Sister Lydia's prayer card first. They said, "That's not you." I said, "Your eyes ain't that bad. We don't look alike that much." But we've got new prayer cards, and he's got new prayer cards. And seemed like in our life we were always going through some kind of a transition. And we lived in Charleston, South Carolina for three and a half years. And God blessed with a Spanish work there, and that's been turned over to a national. And we moved back to our home in Stuart, Virginia, and we've moved our church up here in Stuart now. And some of the brethren are happy about that. Some of them are not happy about it. And, preacher, you were saying something. Oh, by the way, before I forget about it, phone rang fairly early this morning, and his brother Fry. And Brother Noah, he sends greetings. And you haven't been forgotten beside the road up here. So me and him talk fairly often. I hadn't seen Brother Noah in a long time now because it seems like our paths are headed in different directions sometime. Hadn't seen him, but it's remarkable that he was driving from Lexington, North Carolina, up to Lynchburg today where he's going to preach. And Noah's just a young age of 88. That's all he is. He is 88 years old. His 2020 calendar is almost full, and I'm said, "Man, I can't keep up with that young fella." I call him a lot of times, say, "Young fella, you ain't up to some kind of bad stuff. You got to watch them young fellas when they're quiet. They don't know what they're doing." Mama always found out when I was quiet, I was into something that I wasn't supposed to be into. So sometimes they say you're going in your second childhood the older you get, and I feel like I'm getting into mine a whole lot earlier than he got in that early year. And Brother Bill, you discouraged me in one way that you got that cane, but you encouraged me in another way because I ain't too far from one. That thing come in handy a while ago when I was trying to get up off the floor. I liked it. It worked pretty good. But I thank God that one of these days we ain't have no problem with stuff like that. That's not gonna bother us. And the older we get, there's things that come our way and things that try to discourage us. But praise God, the book's still real. We get a brand new body, folks. We don't have to worry about what's going on out and around about us. I'll try not to ramble on. I'll read a text in a minute, and we'll try to do. I tried to think about what God would have us preach. He never did really completely settle me on something. Last night I got a thought, and we could kind of deal with that thought today. But I'll tell you something. Preachers talking about going out here and witnessing to people and dealing with them, and they're saved and they know they don't need God and all this kind of stuff. I'm going to tell you something. What I find is a problem is our churches. I'm not talking about this church because I know y'all love God and you want to move forward. But we spend so much time fighting one another. We ain't got to go out here and talk about Pentecostals or Presbyterians or all that. We Baptists fight one another. If you don't agree exactly with the brother, exactly about everything he believes, he wants to pick you to death. I was picking at the preacher this morning. I like bow ties. He's got one on today. I told him, I said, I didn't wear mine because I like them too. I didn't wear mine today because I figured he'd call me a liberal. I want to ask you something. What has it got to do with whether he's got a bow tie on or a tie like this to start with? That's the traditions of men. And we're full of traditions. We got all kind of traditions in the Baptist church. And I'm going to get ugly this morning. We got some self-appointed Baptist popes in the Baptist church that if you don't listen to him, you're wrong. And he can be wrong as all he wants to be, but it's all right because of who he is. Well, I'm here to tell you, we serve a God that don't care who you are. He wants to serve you because you love him and you're trying to serve him. And I'm going to go ahead and announce a text before I run too many rabbit trails. Luke chapter number 12. There's an interesting verse. Luke 12, verse 32. I'll give you a minute or two to get to that. And we'll continue on about these slides a little bit and I'll tell you a little bit about the work going on in Paraguay. Last year, well, it was back, I think September of last year, we went down to Paraguay and Mayor Helen didn't get a chance to go. And we got airline tickets bought for us to go in the last of August, 1st of September this year. But Brother Florentino, I'm supposed to be in here preaching and presenting the work this morning, so I want to present Brother Florentino to you. I don't know, a preacher said something about trying to take on another missionary, whether it's me or Florentino or both of us or one of us or neither one of us, it don't matter. But I'll tell you something. Florentino's doing the work. We went down to Paraguay last year, and we took him a motorcycle. He's had one before, and they've always been some kind of a little cheap knockoff motorcycle. Well, praise God, we bought him a Honda this time. He got a original Honda, and he puts somewhere around 700 miles on that little motorcycle a month on that motorcycle. He's got his church. Then he's got satellite churches all over the place, and he preaches on the radio too. Florentino is younger than most of us in here. He's 56. He still ain't no young fella. But he's running all the time. He's riding a motorcycle. We're praying about getting a vehicle because there could be more people in his church if they had some kind of vehicle to bring them in. His daddy, I think Romicchio, is 83 years old. He walks right at 2 miles through the woods and through the it's not mountains, but it's rolling hills from the church over to, from his house to the church. He's got a bag for his kidneys and a bag that's a colostomy bag too. But he walks to church. He loves God. I've took people down there before and said, where do people come from? But come church time, it fills up. They come out the woodwork. They want to hear the word of God. And it's out in the country, out in the woods. I mean, we don't realize what woods is here. But his place is very rural. And they come out from the woodwork all over the place, and they come out there to hear the word of God. And right at 5 years ago, I did Florentino's daughter's wedding. We got there that day, and Florentino kind of meets Brother David. I feel like I ought to preach today. What do you think? I said, preacher, this is your church. I'm a missionary. I'm here to help you. I said, you feel like you need to preach, preach. Well, people gathered around in a little church building. We've been able to build another building now. He's got about a 30 by 40 building down there now. But the little building he had at that time would hold probably, what do you think, 25, 30 people without it being maxed out. And it's a little wooden building about to rock the ground. And man, that building filled up. And those windows, you can fix your air conditioning problem in the United States by doing a Paraguayan church. You open these old wooden windows and shutters like we used to have in the old houses around here, and what you see is what you get. It's either hot or cold. If some mosquitoes out there, they in there. What you see is what you get. That little old church house filled up, and people started gathering around because they had tables set out all over the place out there for the reception. And I guarantee you there was over 200 people at that wedding. And Florentino got it, and probably 95% of them people outside that church house, Catholic. Florentino got up and he preached one of the roughest messages on Catholicism that I've ever heard. And I'm like, dear Lord, these people gonna kill us around here. And after the message and after the wedding and everything, I'm kind of looking around and said, Florentino, I bet you got all them all upset and mad. He said, many people love me. And he said, there'll be some of them saved here for long because they listen to the gospel. They listen to it on the radio and they're Catholic. Well, I went down there the last time in one of them satellite churches. We went out there and we had church in the Catholic deacon's house and his wife's house. He ain't a Catholic no more. He's a Baptist. He got born again. He's opened up his house and yard to have Bible study and preaching at his house now. Them neighbors around there is Catholic. Florentino's bold. He don't care. He preaches. He ain't afraid of the Catholics. But the interesting thing about it, they love him. They're coming up and hugging me and loving on me and all that kind of stuff. A Paraguayan wedding is different than one around here. They start along about 6 o'clock that morning. They got to go do a civil wedding because the country of Paraguay does not recognize a church wedding. You got to go get married at a justice of peace, whatever you want to call it. Then you come and you have your church wedding. So all that stuff starts along about 6 o'clock in the morning. They finish up. I don't know when they finished up. I went to bed at 10 o'clock. I told Florentina, I said, man, I done got all this I can handle. They was out there singing. And so I'm talking about singing gospel music, too. They wasn't singing world music. They was eating and enjoying life and having a big time. They was having a big party for that thing, but it wasn't a worldly party. It was a good party. And I went to bed about 10 o'clock. And, of course, he puts me in his bed because it's the best one in the house. And the only thing for a door is like a sheet. That's what it is. I wasn't really asleep. I just give out, tired. My back was hurting. I was in that bed, and it was chilly that night. And I seen him come peeping in that sheet. He thought I was asleep. I just said, what is he going to do? He walks in there and he starts feeling on my feet. And they were cold. And he come up there and he seen I was awake. He said, are you cool, brother? I said, a little bit. He goes and gets me a blanket. And he wraps me up and takes care of me like I'm a baby. It ain't too many people that do that for you. He loves me and he loves God. But Florentino will take that motorcycle, and he runs all over the country out there, and he gets about $150 a month for support. He needs somewhere around $600 a month, what he needs, because his phone is ringing off the hook all the time. Somebody's wanting him to come preach here, come preach there, and a bus ticket, not expensive as it is here, but a bus ticket to go run 5 hours and back costs you about $30. That's pretty high when a fella ain't got but $150 a month support. So we're praying that we can raise his support up to $150. I've gone through this transition, and I've lost some, and I feel like I'm going to gain some. But you know what? His support's going up a little bit. I praise God for that. Yeah. That man of God's preaching, and we're seeing souls saved. We've seen people baptized. Amen. And we've done filled that little building up down there and got another problem. It ain't big enough. We in America, and even when I was in Bible college, I had a question asked me in Bible college. Do you think the United States is gospel hardened? And my instructor, he didn't feel like it was, but I disagreed with him. And on the test, to pass the test, I wrote down there, according to you, you feel like it's not gospel hardened, but according to me, I think it is. And that's how I answered his question. I got it right, and he marked it right, but he didn't like it, but that's okay. But the United States of America have heard the gospel for years. I'm 64 years old. I've heard the gospel all my life. I was saved when I was 7. You can get on the radio. You can get on the TV. And so I don't like them TV preachers, but there's enough gospel on some of them things that you can hear the gospel and you can get saved. Yeah. But America has has been so duped by prosperity. And I like air conditioning. I like heat. I run air conditioning in my car today coming up here. I like it. But I'm going to tell you, we are so spoiled in America, and our churches have got to be just so, that we forgot the real deal, and that's serving God. We forgot about all that. And I just pray that you pray for us, pray for Florentina, pray for this trip we're getting ready to go down on. Mary Helen hadn't been back to Paraguay in a good while. She's going this time. Praise God, we got some reasonable tickets. I bought two tickets for $1,549. I have paid that much for one, all right near it. And we've got two tickets, and they're not too bad. But when I tell you what our connections are, you can think that don't sound too good. We go to Raleigh. We fly from Raleigh to Toronto, Canada. And then from Toronto, Canada, we go to San Diego, Chile. And there's a pretty long layover in San Diego, but we've been in the San Diego airport, and it's nice. It's a very nice place. It's glass all the way around, and you look at snow-covered mountains all the way around you. That's how it looks. And they got all them good American restaurants in that San Diego Chile restaurant. So you got to pray that we stay out of them the best we can. But we got about a 6-hour layover in San Diego. Well, I'm going to take some gospel tracts with me. That's what I'm going to do. And then we fly into Asunción, Paraguay, and we'll be in there right at 2 weeks. And then we'll fly back out. And we still got another layover in San Diego and go back to Toronto. You fly way north to go way south. It's interesting, but that's how it goes. It's about a 24-hour trip this time, I believe. But you pray for us, because I'm telling you, when we get down there with Florentino, we feel God. If I take you in that church down there, you can't speak Spanish, and I know you can't speak Guarani, and I know very little Guarani myself. But you walk in that place and you feel God. You feel his presence. And we don't feel that too much more in America. We don't. And it's a sad thing, because we have become so immune to the Word of God that it don't matter. And I'm saying something behind Brother Noah's back that I done said to his face before. And he said, "Brother, I pray it ain't like that." I said, "Preacher, there's so many people love you, and they appreciate you, but they're immune to your preaching." "So what do you mean by that?" I say, "They listen to you, but they don't heed the message." And that's a sad thing. There's a lot of people listen to a message, but they don't take heed to it. And that's what's going on in many of our churches. "Preacher, you worry about them people out there in the world." And that's wonderful. I'm glad you have a burden for lost sinners. But I got a burden for the lost ones in church. We got a pile of people in our churches that are lost. It's just a ritual to come to church. It's a good thing to do. And one preacher that dropped my support this time, he's supposed to know the gospel. He knows what I stand for. And he's like, "Brother, well, if you do that, what you could do?" I said, "Brother, I'm going to trust God like I always have. I don't trust in the brethren. I trust in God." Amen. I'm going to tell you something. If the rapture occurs today, Brother Donald, and say I'm not saved, you can't help me. Mm-hmm. You, brother in Christ, you might want to help me, but you can't do it. I got to be born again. I got to know Jesus Christ as my Savior. That's just like Noah in the ark. When God shut the door on the ark, all the people thought that was funny. It was funny until the water got long about their nose. It wasn't funny no more then. They wanted to get in. "I want to get in." You know, if the rapture occurred today, there's a whole lot of them want to get in, but it's too late. They can't get in. It's done. But I guarantee you, you being a man and human feelings, you'd want to open the door and let them in. But you can't do it. God shut the door. When God shuts the door, you're done. You're done. I believe people come to a deadline in their life. They've heard the gospel. They've heard the gospel. They didn't heed it. So God said, "That's it. I cut you off. I done hardened your heart. You ain't going to get saved now." And just like something he said a while ago, he got kind of quit asking them to, what they said or not, because they lie to you. God says in his word that he'll not strive with man all the time.
Right.
Why should I strive with somebody all the time that don't want to hear what I got to say? There comes a point in time that you just got to let God deal with it.
Yep.
You can't deal with it. That sounds hot, callous and hard. But if God don't strive with man all the time, I don't know why I should. I need to go on down the road with somebody else that might listen. Anyway, we'll get our text. Y'all done had time to turn there now. Luke chapter 12, verse 32. Very interesting verse that I've had in my mind for years, but it's interesting, and it says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you'd take this word of God of yours and use me to speak to these people to be an encouragement. And Lord, I pray to encourage myself and to help us as we go along life's way, that we might serve you in the days to come and see many miraculous things happen. Lord, see people saved. And Lord, get things done for you before it's everlastingly too late. For I ask in Christ's name for his sake. Amen. I looked at this thing many years ago, and our boys were in Christian school and had been. And the Christian school that they had been in had shut down, and now they end up having to drive like 45 miles one way, mom and the two boys. And at that time, I think they were a little bit old enough to where they could help you drive, right? The beginning stages of them driving. But I thought about them on the road, that 45 miles. That ain't that far, but that was close to Charleston, South Carolina, where they had to go from our home out in the country. And it's kind of a dangerous drive. And God gave me that verse, "Fear not, little flock." Hey, y'all small in number here today, you may be discouraged. I'd like to see this church full today. But I'm going to tell you what I don't want it full of. I don't want it full of a bunch of goats.
Right.
In Spanish down there, a goat is a cabra, and a lamb is an oveja. And we used to cut up them down there and say, "We need this church full of ovejas, but we don't need a bunch of cabras, because them cabras have got horns. And them rascals will butt you, and they'll tear you up and hurt you and mess you up. We don't want this church full of a bunch of goats. Praise God. I'd bring them in here and get them saved. That knocks the horns off of them. But if they got them horns on them and they stay in here, they're the ones going to run you off. We don't want a bunch of goats in here. We want some saved folks in this church. That's what we want. But the title of the message today is God Knows What You Need. I don't know what you need. You don't know what I need. We need finances to go and do the work God's called us to do. But God knows all about that, and he'll provide it one way or the other. This one preacher asked me, "What are you going to do, brother?" And what he's saying, "We cut all your support off. What are you going to do?" I'm going to trust God and move forward. That's what I'm going to do. The word of God says that he ain't never, that we, I've been young, now I'm old, and I ain't never seen his seed forsaken or his seed begging bread. I ain't going to starve to death. My head said, "I wish these fellas quit trying to starve you. Every time they talk about starving you, you grow bigger." Well, I don't really want to grow bigger in size, but I would like to grow bigger in our ministry and see our coast enlarged. And you got some verses on my prayer card. You'll see what I'm talking about. I want to see it expand out. We started that work in Charleston. It started before 5, turned into 100. It's been turned over to national leadership. He ain't went the direction I wanted him to go in. He didn't. He didn't want to be a Baptist. I got a problem with that. But you know what? There's a lot of people got saved in there. And you know what? He's got to answer to God what he does, not me. He's the pastor. I ain't. Praise God. Some people got saved, though. I know they did. Their lives changed. He texted me last night. He still loves me, wants me to come preach, but I ain't gonna preach for him if he could put up with some of the shenanigans he does in that church now, because I'm not gonna do it. I'm just not gonna have part of that. And he's gonna have to understand that you need to take a stand somewhere. See, that's what our problem is in our churches. We want to please the people. And you allow everything to come in the church house to please the people. When you please the people, you ain't pleasing God most of the time. That's how that works. But fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We all have needs. We all got things that we need. And the only one that can meet our needs is Christ. I can't help you with everything that's going on in your life. But Christ can. You can't help me with everything going on in my life. We have needs, but thank God, God met our needs. And I'm going to tell you something right now that's interesting to me. And that little black car out there in the yard, I came in off the field and got into the ministry that I am now, is training nationals and being involved and going back and forth to different countries and all this kind of stuff. And my support done a nosedive like that right now. It was going down. Well, the old car we had, the air went out in it. I didn't want to ride hot, and it was June and July. So I bought that little car brand new. I come by, and my son Jonathan said, "Daddy, how much payments on that car?" I told him. He didn't say nothing. I know what he meant by that. Well, if Pop can't make the payments, I reckon I will. I'm going to tell you something. That car was financed 4 years. It was paid off in two, and he ain't made the first payment on none. God done. A lot of people look at me, and I think some of them are jealous. I'm going to say something else. I got a pretty white Silverado pickup at the house. Now, if I drive that pickup to a lot of churches, it's an 05, it's old, but it looks like it's new. But if I drive that pickup to a church, man, look at that rich missionary, got that great big old big pickup, it's pretty nice and everything. And I've been a pretty gracious guy so far. The older I get, the less gracious I'm being. Because what I want to tell them is say, praise God, if you get right with God, maybe God give you one. I don't care if this preacher gets whatever kind of car he wants. He wants a Lexus or Mercedes-Benz, and God gives it to him. Praise God, he got it. I'm not going to be jealous over what he's driving or what you're driving, what kind of house you live in. God provided it for you. Use it and enjoy it. But some of these fellas can't stand it. Missionaries are supposed to walk around with ragged clothes and the shoe soles gone and all this kind of stuff. But hey, I didn't see them going over there and lay down in that little thatch roof house that we was in. And maybe I shouldn't say this, but use that 5-gallon bucket we had for our restroom. I didn't see them doing that. Well, praise God. Praise God for what you got. I'm going to tell you something. 5-gallon bucket's a whole lot better than that crack in the ground out there in the yard. I'd have to have two walking tans to use that. Their outhouse ain't even got a seat in it. But praise God. God meets needs. There's plastic 5-gallon buckets. Praise God for them. And I'm not trying to be ugly, but he meets needs. Fear not, little flock. Y'all little in number here, but fear not. Little is much when God's in it. Little is much when God's in it. Now, I'm going to back up and read a few things. I'm going to go back in here in verse 22, and it says, "And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what shall ye eat, or neither for the body, what you shall put on. Life is more than meat, and the body more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are you better than the fowl?" Well, I'm going to tell you something about that verse. On our survey trip, back in, I think, September of 1998, we went to Paraguay for the first time. We couldn't speak the language. We had a guy with us, and he spoke the language, and he'd lived there before. And we got down there, and we went into this place. We got into Pilar. There was no such thing as making a reservation for a hotel. So we got down that little town, and they have something kind of different than what we got here. People have their homes, and they got these little rooms in there that they'll rent you a little room in their house. And I walked in there, and there was a pile of garbage in this kind of a courtyard, and it was burning. It didn't smell too good. But it was raining. I didn't want to sleep outside. And it was our boys, the two boys, and me and Mary Helen. And the boys got one of them little rooms, and me and her got another little room, and this man and this national got the other room. There's three rooms, little rooms there. I got in there, and I was praising God. It was raining, about half chilly. It wasn't raining in that room where I was at. We had a little mattress of foam rubber about that thick. That's a whole lot better than laying on the ground. We got up the next morning. There was a sparrow out there in the little restaurant where we got breakfast. And he had a great big old piece of bread, looked like cornbread, and he was on the ground picking at that. I said, Lord, if you can give that sparrow that bread, you can sure take care of me. Because I'm worth more than that sparrow is. You know what? We had a pretty decent breakfast that morning. And it didn't kill us. We lived through it. And people asked me, said, Brother David, you ain't afraid to go down there? I said, I ain't going by myself. God went with me before I went. He'd been there before me. He called me. But that sparrow down there, he had his food. And he didn't have to work for it. It was given to him. God took care of us too over the years. We've lived in some pretty decent houses in Paraguay. A lot of people think, well, you live out there, it's rough. The last house we lived in down there was very nice. I don't say this everywhere I go. People get the wrong idea. And I didn't rent this house because it had this, but it happened to have it. It was a two-story house, and it was brick, German-built house. The walls were that wide. If they'd have had a military coup down there, it'd have had a skid of, sent a Scud missile in there to tap that house. In the backyard was an Olympic-sized swimming pool, too. Guess what? Me and her liked that at night. I didn't like it in the daytime because the water was too hot in the daytime. At night, you could get in and it felt warm and come out, you about freeze to death. But that was a nice thing God did for us. But here again, if the brethren knew I had that, they'd have a fit. But there wasn't nobody in that pool with me and her. So what's wrong with it? The brethren has fit about lots of things. God took care of and met needs. Fear not, little flock. I'm praying God would put people in the path, in your path, and put them in this church. But I don't want to see it filled up with goats. You don't need goats in here. You need saved folk that love God. Fear not, and I've already covered this about the sparrow. Fear not for hunger, because God's going to meet your need and he'll feed you. I left the power company. I had a good job with the power company. I left the power company in 98, and I never looked back. I missed it about 10 minutes after we left, and I ain't never looked back and cared anything about it since. All them guys, man, you were starved to death. I started growing bigger. I wish they quit talking to me about starving. I want to lose weight. Now, I don't want to starve to death either. But I'm going to tell you, that every time they say that, God increases my waistline, and I don't really want that. But I want him to meet needs and take care of us, and he sure has. He's done a good job about that. In verse 25, and which of you with taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? It seems to me like me and Brother Bill, we can grow wide, but we can't grow taller. That's just how that works.
But I don't know about you, Brother Bill, but I can breathe air and get fat.
Absolutely.
It ain't about what I eat. And that's just how that is.
But I'm going to tell you something. We can think about it. We can't grow no taller. We done topped out. You ain't going to get no taller. If you then be not able to do that thing which is the least, why take thought of rest? God knows exactly what he wants in this church. He knows who he wants in this church. And he's going to place who he wants in this church. The world will get out there and look at you and say, man, look at that crowd. They're struggling along over there. They ain't got nobody over there. You got who God wants in here. You got who God wants. Rejoice and be glad in that.
Amen.
I just heard air conditioning come on. Praise God, y'all got air in here too. Yeah. One time it was broke and wasn't working. But you know what? God done fixed it. He done it. Mm-hmm. He done that. He took care of that need. And it's nice. I like it. I'm getting hot up here. It feels good. 27, consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Which one of y'all out there can make a flower? I used to have a pretty green thumb. I can help grow them. This year we planted them and they died. I don't know what's going on. It ain't a lack of rain. They just died. Maybe it's too much of it. But you know something? God made flowers. I didn't. I might buy one and see if I can keep it living, but God made them things. You can't do that. You can't. There's a lot of things you can't make. God made it. And if we decide we can do it our way, it ain't going to work. And if God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and a lot of hay has been cut in here lately. I love to cut hay. I hadn't cut any this year, but sometimes I'll find a farmer. And if he let me drive the tractor and cut hay and rake hay, I love it. I'd rather do it than eat. I love it. But I tell him what I ain't going to do. I ain't going to bale hay with one of them round balers. Because when it chokes up, that's his problem. I ain't dealing with it. One of the fellas that lives right there close to me, he's an older man. And he bought him a brand new Massey Ferguson tractor. Got an air conditioning cab and everything on it. And one day I felt sorry for him. He was out there unchoking that baler. And that tractor sitting in the island, and I knew it was cool on the inside. I said, Mr. Fain, how that air work in that tractor? He said, if it could stay in it, it'd be all right. But he's too busy unchoking the hay baler. I tell all of them, I said, I'll cut hay for you. I'll rake hay. But y'all go bale hay, because I ain't unchoking that baler. I ain't doing it. That's how that works. But we look at this thing, it says, if then God so clothed the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow cast it into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? You know, we talk about what we got faith, and this church has got faith, and the name of it is faith. But when things start coming down your way and starts going against you, your faith wanes. I knew what God led me to do when I joined this church that I joined here a while back. And I knew the brethren would have a fit about some of it. But you know something? I know that's what God wanted me to do. But then when I started hearing the garbage on the telephone, my faith began to wane. But God told me, said, who is leading you to start with? Was it him or me? If I start following man, brother, I ain't worth a close neck. I'm not. I praise God for men of God to stand for the truth. I praise God for them. But they cannot help me when it comes down to my dying day or I'm in the hospital and I'm laid up. Doctors ain't got no idea what's wrong with me. A man can't help me. But God can.
Yes. Amen.
God can help us. I know the pastors went through some health issues. I'm too sweet. I'm a diabetic. Some of the medicine, I think, is killing me. I really do. But you know something?
God can deal with that blood sugar. I can't deal with it. And I can tell you, sometime when I eat the sorriest stuff that I can find to eat, my blood sugar's down. Don't make a bit of sense to me. I can eat pizza at night and eat ice cream. I said, man, I better be out of sight in the morning. It's Lord, it was the day before when I ate right. That don't make a bit of sense to me. And I'm not telling you to go out there and eat pizza and ice cream if you're a diabetic. I ain't said that now. But it's interesting to me to when you, Mary Helen, I tell you, she fixed food for me that's supposed to be what I was supposed to have, and my blood sugar's up. That's interesting. God's in control of that. I ain't. You know what? We ain't gonna stay here forever. I might be wrong, but I believe most everybody in here is past 60 years old. But I'm gonna tell you something. Our days are numbered. It got interesting one time, me and Mary Helen and I, we've been married for 44 years. We was down in Paraguay, and we done both got past 50 years old at that time. And me and her were having this little discussion. I know you fellas that's married have a perfect marriage, and you never disagree with your wife about nothing. And if you tell me that, I'm going to call you something that you ain't going to like. But anyway, we was having this little discussion, and right in the middle of that discussion, Mary Helen looked at me and stopped. She said, David, hush. She said, I done lived over half of my life, and I don't want to hear no more of that today. And it was like, if I hear any more of that today, I'm going to hurt you. So I'm decided it was best that I hush. I've made her mad two times I know about in our marriage. I'm talking about really mad. I aggravate her every day. But I'm talking about really make her mad. And if I really make her mad, that's not good. That's a good way to get hurt. I know it. I've come close a couple times, so I know about that. But you know what our major fear is most of the time? We doubt things. When God has done so many times, miraculously blessed us with many things, and we run up to another Red Sea. Lord, how am I going through this Red Sea now? The same way you went through the last one. Like I told that preacher, I'm going to trust God, and I'm going to move forward and do what he's called me to do. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm going to do. Who are you going to trust? I didn't say that, but that's what I wanted to ask. Who are you thinking on trusting then? I don't know. And then the next thing is, fear not to follow God. I'll tell you something else about the brethren, brothers, sisters in the Lord here. I started a church in Pilar, Paraguay. It hadn't been organized into an organized church. But man, I was rejoicing, had me a good time. There's two languages in Paraguay. There's Spanish and there's Guarani. I know a few phrases in Guarani now, but I can't speak Guarani. I can pretty much get by with Spanish. I can go along with that pretty good. And at that time, and still now, when I go down, I preach in Spanish. I don't try to deal with Guarani. And ladies, there's more ladies in here than there are men, so y'all get mad and hurt us, that's not good. But I got a problem with this, and I know you do too. I ain't listening to a woman preaching. I'm not gonna do that. I have no problem with you getting up here and testifying. And all that, that's fine. But if you get up here and open the Word of God and stand in this pulpit 15, 20 minutes and start elaborating on what the Word of God says, that looks like preaching to me. And what we had in that situation, man, we had 40, 50 people out there underneath the shade tree out there. We were playing guitars and singing. I thought I was back down in the low country, South Carolina with a Southern gospel band or something. I thought we had a good time. And, them women get up and start testifying. And they'd open their Spanish Bible and they'd read a passage of the scripture. And then they'd switch languages on me and I couldn't understand what they're saying. They're speaking in Guarani. And I told my head, I said, I don't know what them women are doing. But it appears to me like they're preaching to me and I got enough of it. So I got with the men, I said, it's about time we organize this church into a a for real church and get some leadership and some things in order. First thing to get in order is some baptism. If you saved, you need to be baptized. We ain't gonna get baptized. Okay? Why? We done been baptized. Who done it? I don't know. By what group? I don't know. I said, well, I ain't gonna accept it. And I sought some counsel. Now, this was my pastor at the time. And I told him what I just told you. I said, we got this situation down here. But I said, I can't nail down who baptized these folks. What's your advice? And I'm going to tell you what he told me. He said, well, brother, you know what I believe I do? I said, what's that? Go ahead and accept the men. Just don't let the brethren in the United States know what you did. You hear that? Don't let the brethren know what you did. In other words, it was more important what the brethren thought than what the Bible says. When I hung that phone up, I said, I won't ask him for advice no more. I'm done with that.
Yeah.
I didn't baptize him. And I didn't have him in my church. We started another church. Well, we didn't start another church. We started a church with a small remnant out of that group. And it grew to about 8 or 10 or 15 people. And God blessed. But I didn't deal with that 40 or 50. Because you know what I believe they were? I believe they were a bunch of goats. They enjoyed the feelings in that church. Not so much salvation. But I say here, it says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.
Amen.
God's going to take care of you. It's going to take care of Faith Baptist Church at Ringgold, Virginia, because I had Georgia on the prayer card, the prayer letter, and you didn't get it, and I think somebody else did that, but that don't work that way. I think we got Virginia on there where it belongs now. But I'm telling you, God is going to bless in whatever area he wants here,
Amen.
And he's going to take care of us in the ministry. He's already taken care of airline tickets for us to go back down there. Chief and I have been down there in a long time. And he will take care of some other things. Hey, them airline tickets paid for. I know where the money's at. Pay for them. But you know something? God's going to meet other needs too. And I pray you pray for us. Pray for Florentino and Lydia. Lydia just liked to left us here not too long ago. I don't know what a pre-heart attack is. But she told me, I talked to her on the phone, she said, I thought I was going to be in glory most any minute. She had a problem at the house with her heart. She had one in the hospital, and where they live is out in the sticks. I don't even know how they got her to the hospital, to be honest with you. But she survived, and she's taking medication. She's doing okay. Florentina and her are both about 56 years old. They live out in a kind of hard way of living. Pray for them. Pray that we can get them a vehicle. There's hope for that happening right now. Met with a man this last week, and that part of their ministry is raising money to buy stuff like that for national people in foreign countries. I was down there, and I had one. Don't think I'm bragging with what I'm saying. There was a time that I had right near 100 supporting churches, and I was doing good. I mean, we had support, and I wrote a letter asking for $100 a piece from them churches. Best I can tell, 100 times 100 is 10,000, ain't it? Am I not right? I delocated a vehicle down there I could bought for $9,000. Do you think one of them churches sent me $100? Not the first one. Now, $100, that ain't no money for no church. But this motorcycle group, this Christian motorcycle group in America, they raise money for that kind of stuff, and we're praying that we'll be able to get money to buy a vehicle down there. The worst thing that I face when I go back to Paraguay down in August is I don't have these in my pocket. And I miss my car keys when I'm down there. We take it for granted. I get in the car and I go where I want to go. Down there, when you get off the bus, you're done. You got to find a taxi.
You got to find an ox cart. You got something to get you where you're going, and it ain't your car keys, and that's one thing we face. And I ain't man enough to walk too far.
But the thing of it is, that little 125 Honda, I can't ride it either. I'm too big for it. And if we had a vehicle down there, when we're there, it'd be a whole lot better for to get out and go to these satellite churches, because Florentino's got satellite churches that's 15, 20 miles from where he lived. Sure would be nice to be able to drive a vehicle over there and trying to figure out borrowing one or paying somebody an extravagant price to carry you. We had a national down there that was carrying us around last time I went down there, and he charged a group of men $100 to drive them about 40 miles, and I'm like, that diesel fuel didn't cost that much. And I mean, we gave it to him. I mean, that was good, but at the same time, it really wasn't worth that. If we had our own, we'd do what we wanted to do. But just pray for us. Pray for us. Pray for Florentino. And just pray that God meet needs. Pastor, thank you.